Hello, and welcome to SoberCast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting SoberCast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
So now we get to the fifth step, where we share with another human being this list that we have worked on, and there's a great reluctance to do this. Oh, you talk about not wanting to do a step. If you want to see character defects and instincts get in the way, you just check the average AA when you ask them about the fifth step, and you say, how long did it take you to do the fifth step? Oh, about an hour, 2 hours, whatever it was. But how long did it take you to get ready? Ooh, 4 years. 5 years, 8 years. In other words, you got the fourth step done, but now we're going to go share this with somebody, and there's just a tremendous feeling of, I don't think I'll do this today. This ought to wait a little bit. And then you get somebody to start a rumor about, he heard about a guy about 30 years ago who got drunk right after a fifth step. Oh, really? God, I'm so glad to hear that. Run home and tell our sponsor, you know, the guy got drunk doing that. No, he got drunk from drinking. Oh, that's right. Wasn't the fifth step. He drank. That was the thing. Okay, well, yeah. And so some of us came up with a plan, and this is in case there's anybody new and you've already thought up how to do the fifth step painlessly. Believe me, there's people before you who've already thought about it. And the best technique of all is to just do your fifth step in front of a large crowd, like an open meeting, because that'll end some, you know, make it even more valid. And you don't want to bore them, you don't want to keep them there all night, and so you might follow this approach. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take my fifth step here. I've worked on my fourth step for a month. You name it, I did it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And right about that time, from the back of the room comes a voice, could you be more specific? No, I don't want to be specific. Oh, why not? Well, I just don't want to. And that's part, we just don't want to. And I think part of us recognizes if we ever go through with this thing, we're liable to get on the road here to recovery. We're liable to move on into a whole new way of life. And if we do that, we won't have any excuse for misbehaving. And it's almost like I don't want to give up my right to misbehave. I don't know if anybody ever has that problem, but it's like, I don't want to get too good. I mean, gee whiz, what if being good is boring and it's too late to turn back? Just a small minority have that problem, but the inner weird circle will meet later and we'll discuss this. But the fifth step is a very rewarding moment in sobriety. I brought along the 12 and 12, and I got a page out of the big book, and you know, you often hear about the promises in the ninth step. I think there's a whole bunch of them in the fifth step out of the big book. It says, once we've taken this step, withholding nothing, we're delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. And then about 13 years later, when Bill was writing the 12 and 12, he wrote, provided you hold back nothing, your sense of relief will mount from minute to minute. The dammed up emotions of years will break out of their confinement and miraculously vanish as soon as they're exposed. As the pain subsides, a healing tranquility takes its place. And when humility and serenity are so combined, something else of great moment is apt to occur. Many AA, once agnostic or atheist, tells us that it was during this stage of step five that he first actually felt the presence of God. And so, the reason that this step and step nine produce such dramatic results is that they both involve other people. It involves the sharing that we've never done before. Most of us have secrets, and we have a feeling that they ought to go to the grave with us. There are certain things that we just ought to keep. It's our little burden to carry on through life, and it's just too bad that it turned out that way, but I've got this thing. And you know what it is? It's like a little pebble. It's just a misstep that took place 10 years ago that we forgot to throw away when it was a little pebble, and we've turned it into a huge rock. And we just walk around with this thing going, what a burden I have. And people are going, why don't you get rid of that? And you go, it's the real me. And what the fifth step goes, gives us a chance, we suddenly take this photo of ourselves that we've had, and it's only from our perspective, and we run it through the processing machine, which enables us to see the third dimension of it, and we go, that isn't what I look like. And we suddenly see all of this from outside. And we just start laughing. We go, what a joke. I thought that was a big, serious rock. It was just a pebble. And away goes that. And then we see something over here that we had minimized. And we go, boy, I've really got to do something about that. And it just puts everything in perspective. We suddenly realize we have a much more accurate view. And it gives us the feeling we can get through that day in just wonderful shape. And we realize the power of the process. You see, what happens in that moment is our faith has to triple because we actually see how effective this works. There is little doubt about the impact of a good fifth step. It is one of the great freedoms that we find in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Instead of trying to be something, we realize that we want to become part of something. And to me, that has been one of the greatest freeings that has set place in me. I was part of that same syndrome that almost everybody is, that you've got to grow up and be somebody. And that can never be achieved in the sense that I was trying to achieve it. Whatever I got, I could just see, well, you still got 50 more miles to go. And when I got there, I saw 50 more, and it was very frustrating. And then I found here that my goal was to be part of something. And that was manageable, and it made sense. And all of a sudden, it was as if I was reading some musical score, and it all was quite harmonious, and I just had my notes to play, and somebody else had written it, and I didn't have to write it. I just had to follow this thing, and it just sounded great as I went along. I said, isn't this great? I wish somebody had told me this was here before. And it was there all along. I couldn't see it or hear it because my character defects were making so much noise. I would hear a little signal, you ought to go over this way, and then the voice would go, no, you need a woman. I go, sorry. Often follow that. And so I could never believe in a power greater than myself. I couldn't believe that there was such a thing as principles that would work because I was not free enough to do it. And so it was alcohol that made me surrender momentarily long enough to try this. The last step that we talk about this morning, the sixth step, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Begins in the 12 and 12 with, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. I suppose that if Bill had written it now, it would say, and the women from the girls. I like to think about this old minister story that is told in churches a lot about the chicken and the pig that are looking in the farmer's window, and the farmer's having breakfast of ham and eggs, and the chicken says, isn't it wonderful how we serve our master? And the pig said, hey, for you it's a contribution. For me, it's total commitment. And the sixth step is very close to that situation. What it does in the process of thinking about the sixth step, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. What it comes by in the first blush, it reminds me of the congressional budget process. Everybody want to reduce the deficit? Yeah. So, you know, it's like this is the sixth step. Does everybody want to get rid of all your character defects? Yeah. Good. Which one do you want to start with? Lust? Well, How about murder? Let's start with murder. I'd like to give up murder. Okay, murder's gone. Now how about lust? No, bank robbery. Bank robbery would be next. We all agree with the principle of getting rid of character defects. The problem is when we get specific. And then even when we get specific, we don't want to take such an extreme position. There's obviously been a mistake in the printing of this step. We're entirely ready to have God remove most of these character defects. That would be more what we ought to adopt. A little moderation is what we need. Don't jump on the moderation bandwagon. We don't want to take extreme positions. Why do we have to set ourselves up for what is obviously going to be a lifetime of spiritual frustration? We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character means perfection. And I remember a line in chapter 5 in the big book, right? It says something about, we strive, what does that line say? We can't reach perfection, what is it? Progress, not perfection. And so there it is. Bill wrote it himself. We strive for progress, not perfection. So obviously this step doesn't say, you better read this step too. Because it says, yes, the clear implication of this step is perfection. And so we suddenly have a goal of perfection that we can never reach. And this sounds like, why would I be wanting that? The 24-hour day book has an interesting line in it, and this is in one of the prayers. We have this little prayer thing that comes out and look at each morning. And one of the lines in there helps understanding this step and the dilemma of this step, and the dilemma of a spiritual program. And the line says, I pray that I may be never satisfied with my spiritual condition. Now, think about that. Why would I bust my rear end and just hope, please, may I be frustrated at all times? What the hell kind of a deal is this? Why would I be busting my rear end for that goal? And that's the nature of this step. What am I trying to do? I think we're caught with the dealing with pain. I think that's what life is all about. We're caught with it, and we have our choice of the pain of growing or the pain of not growing. But either way, we're going to have that feeling, because we will always have our instincts and we'll always have our self-centeredness. And the process of life is, how much of self-centeredness can you hack away before you finish? And we always know how much progress we're making. And if you bust your tail for a week or so and you're working on this and you're working on that, it's sort of an effort to get started. But when you get into it, it's not pain, it is effort. It's like getting in shape. It's real hard to start with. And then once you've got the thing rolling, it's sort of an effort to go out and put in the little routine that day. Once you get your meeting schedule going and you get these things going and you've made a commitment to it, it seems to roll along. It isn't a struggle every day, a debate over whether I'm going to go to a meeting or not. Then it's more of an effort than pain. But as soon as we relax and we cut back on it and we go, geez, I've been really working hard on this. All life is this way. We put an effort in, then you take a little rest, and you put an effort in, a little rest. But when we rest too long, then all of a sudden, there's this thing going, how long are you going to sit here? You haven't made any progress in a month. And it's almost like a spiritual journey is mountain climbing. And wherever you are on the mountain, you can always see another 3,000 feet, and you still can't see the top. So then you climb 5,000 more feet, and then you take a look. You still can't see the top, but you can see 5,000 more feet to go. And you go, why am I busting my rear end to do this when whenever I look like that, there's still 5,000 more feet up there and I'm never going to get to the top? Why don't I just sit here and I'll still always see 5,000 feet above me? It'll always be the same. You know why? Because the view is better from 5,000 feet higher. The view out this way. And to me, that's what this sixth step is suggesting. It is suggesting that I never settle for the view from where I am, because part of me is going to give me a needle. Part of me is going to say, great, I'm delighted you got us to this level, but I'm getting tired of the view. You've got to move on. And you go, oh, come on. And the more I move on, the closer I get to something that feels real good. As long as I'm on this journey, I can go to bed at night and say, that was a nice day. It's when at the end of the day, I know I haven't moved one bit in this direction of spiritual growth. I know it. There's an automatic inventory inside of me. And you know what I try to do then? I try to shut up the inventory. Well, quiet. We don't want to keep track of this. I don't need to think about the fact I didn't do anything today. Well, it's a good thing that part of me is in there. It's a good thing there's other people in the program that talk about these things. It is a great fortune that we have each other to keep moving us along, either through example or through prodding. A sponsor giving you this, or someone who goes through a serious situation, we watch how they handle it in such good fashion, and they become a role model or a target. And we go, you know, I could get that. I could get that way. And the more we move in that direction, the freer we are of these character defects. The closing story I would like to use on this step that has described it for me is the little boy with the toothache, and I think I've used it almost every time. And it describes the dilemma of a spiritual program to a T. And this goes at 3 o'clock in the morning. He wakes up with a little toothache, and he's got a ball game the next morning, so he needs some aspirin, and then he'll get his rest, and he'll be able to do a real good job. But he doesn't call his mother and ask for the aspirin. He decides to wait and see if the toothache will go away. And so he waits 2 hours, and it ping, rah, 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 and then finally it gets worse and worse. So at 5:30, he calls out, and like, what's the matter? I got a toothache. Oh, here's some aspirin. But now he only gets about an hour's sleep. And the question is, why didn't he just call out and get the damn aspirin immediately instead of screwing around for 2 hours on the theory that a toothache might go away by itself? Very unlikely set of circumstances. And the question, or the answer is, that he knew his mother. That's the answer. Just like we know our higher power and we know our sponsor. He knew that if he called her, she would get him the aspirin. She'd no doubt about it. The problem was she wouldn't stop there. She would go, well, what's the problem? Well, the tooth is hurting. Tooth is hurting? Don't worry. I'll call the dentist in the morning. And he knew that when she called the dentist, they'd get an appointment. And when he got to the dentist's office, the dentist would look in and go, which tooth is this? It's this one right back here. It's hardly hurting. And he'd go, that's all right. We're going to check it all out. And while you're here, we're going to x-ray all the other teeth. And then they x-ray all the other teeth. They find 12 other cavities, and they make 14 appointments. And you don't get out of the deal until your mouth is in perfect shape. He didn't want to get his mouth in perfect shape. He just wanted 2 aspirin. And that's our problem when we come to AA. All I want to do is stop drinking. I don't want to become a saint. I don't want to have to try and become a better person. I don't want to try with character building. I don't want to try. And they go, I'm sorry, the only help we got is that. You either have to take that help or do it alone. Oh, Jesus. And that's when we wrestle. Do I want that much help? Do I? It's the nature of the help that we are confronted with. The only help that's available is perfect help. You either get the whole deal or you do it alone. And that's the way each day is. You either want to get the spiritual help involved, your sponsor, your group, or you do it alone. And to me, I'm so grateful that I've been forced to raise my hand and ask for help. Because life has turned out 100 times better than when I was doing it alone. We're at the end of the time. I would remind everybody that we have another meeting in 15 minutes. And let's wrap it up with the Lord's Prayer for anybody who...
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.